In 1973, lo these many decades ago, I had graduated from high school and I was preparing to go off to college, and I was so excited I couldn't stand it. I don't know why, but I always thought college was this great adventure and this wonderful time. Actually, it was for me. And I was literally counting the days until I got to leave and go to college. And I'll never forget my dad saying, pretty much that whole summer, "Don't wish your life away." But I was so focused on the excitement of what the future might hold that I couldn't figure out what to do with myself in the meantime. In the Christian life, I think we all live in the meantime, the time between the creation in God's image and the recreation of the world, when it will be restored to order from chaos. Unfortunately, nowadays, it seems that we literally live in a mean time when individuals seek power at the expense of the entire human condition. Last week, I outlined how mean the mean time can be. In history, of course, we had a time of exile for the people, a time away from the familiar, a time when the people were so miserable and they were asked to sing and dance for their tormentors. In our time, we have the meanness of those news reports that we keep getting. We shudder, at least I shudder, every time someone starts to ask, "Did you hear about fill in the blank? Paris, San Bernardino, whatever the thing is, not just the violence, but the bad news that's out there." So knowing what we do know of this world and this mean time, we asked last week, how can I live in hope? This is the timeless question we ask in Advent. We try to regain hope by reflecting on the time when Jesus first came to earth, and then we practice to project that hope onto the present and future. John the Baptist came into a time which must have felt much like ours today. Many thought God had stopped speaking to the people until John appeared. He appeared and shook up the status quo, and he made everyone simultaneously uncomfortable and excited. Enter into this chemistry of despair and hope, Jesus Christ. Jesus enters now in the Christmas story and will enter later in Revelation, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the creation and the end. The stories that we have in Advent tie the coming of the Christ child to the whole history of Israel's expectations and life with God. Advent speaks of the coming of the Messiah, not only as the baby in the nativity story, but as the culmination of creation and of salvation history. When Jesus came initially, it was an in-between time, a time of wondering when the Messiah would appear. The Gospel of Luke is one which outlines us for us very often that Christian discipleship is a kind of in-between, a time of waiting, where we are aware of Jesus, we wait for Jesus, we look for Jesus, and we come to know Jesus. But in the meantime, we are not supposed to just wait for the second coming, to wish our lives away, as my dad would have said. We are to live out God's love in this lifetime. Many people feel that this time is only a holding cell until we get to rejoin God's kingdom. They would argue even against the goodness of the physical creation. But this argument against the goodness of the physical is part of one of the great heresies of Christianity, which is called dualism. It was outlined in the manuscripts of Nag Hammadi that God had nothing to do with the physical universe because it was evil and another force had created it. Among the Greeks, there was a division between the soul and the body. So the physical, very often in some philosophies, gets slammed as something which is inherently evil. But God created everything physical. And if you remember back to Genesis, God saw it all and said that it was good. And here we have the coming of Jesus. Jesus is the antithesis of dualism. Jesus is the spirit and presence of God living in human flesh in the physical world and teaching us how to do it in a way that honors God. So this announcement of the coming of the infant marked the beginning of a great upheaval and transformation in human history. Here we would find God incarnate, where divine meets human, spiritual meets physical, past meets present and future, creation meets culmination in one person, Jesus Christ. In the Philippians reading today, Paul speaks of your sharing in the gospel and your sharing grace. One of the key themes in Philippians, and especially in this passage, is remembering. Remembering that we are to be together, remembering what Christ has done for us. But this remembering that we speak about is not just reminiscing about the good old days, about when Jesus was here. It's a basis for a new reality in which all persons are united in Jesus and all persons imitate Jesus. In fact, I would repunctuate the word and call it remembering the body of Christ, where the individual members of the body come back together to remember the body of Christ, something that we often say in our Eucharistic prayers. Do this to remember me. When we remember Christ, we come together in a group with new strength and new inspiration, because any group with which we associate helps shape our reality, helps shape our worldview, and help shape our sense of right and wrong and our sense of belovedness. I'm continuing to read the Jonathan Sacks book, Not in God's Name, and he speaks in that book of altruism and of compassion. And he says for us to want to help other people, we have to have some kind of identity with them. And then he says that conflict comes not from secularism per se, or religion per se, but from something he calls groupishness. He says of the meantime, the violence that leads to war and terror is between groups, and it is precisely this that leads to in-group solidarity and cohesion, and fear, suspicion, and aggression towards out-groups. The kingdom of God begins to come to hand when we become reunified out of our groupishness into the one body of Christ, when the body has been remembered. In a sense, groupishness is causing the disease, but another kind of groupishness, the remembering of the body of Christ, is also the antidote to the violence. We would not harm the other if we saw the other as part of ourselves. Very often people, especially in difficult times like these, they speak of wanting to restore an imagined period of the good old days when our own needs came first. But in the good old days, one reason they were good is because we helped each other. We don't do that so much and so naturally nowadays. In those good old days, when we saw the other as part of our community, we were more joyful, less vengeful, more connected, more God-centered, less anxious, because we took care of one another. What will be restored when Christ comes again is our realization that we are one with the other in the body of Christ. Those good old days of safety we pine away for cannot reappear until humankind reunifies, until we begin to care for and care about others. In the meantime, we are called to live out the divine in the human, the spiritual in the physical, to recognize the fallen nature of our frightening culture, but to move toward God's kingdom nevertheless. We can't bring it about, but we can become part of God's move toward this stunning new reality. We help bring it about, to some degree, when we try to imitate Christ. When we try to partner with God in all God's forms. We partner with God the Father, building up others to co-create the loving new reality with God. We stop tearing people down and we start building them up and we help create. We look for the good, the God in every person. We partner with God the Son when we forgive. When we are utterly alone facing our own crosses, we seek to imitate Jesus by forgiving even the one standing there holding the hammer and nails. We partner with God, the Holy Spirit, when we speak in hope to inspire human flesh to seek divinity amid the chaos. We try to develop empathy and compassion. We love the other because we see the other as part of us and part of the body of Christ. Because when we see the other as part of ourselves and not someone to vanquish in our groupishness, we make different choices, small and great. The instinct to strike back is overcome by a relearned ability to forgive and heal. We know that each of us is part of the other, part of the remembered body of Christ. And when we keep that thought foremost in our minds and spirits, we learn to love as God loves us. We learn to love as God loves us. In the meantime, becomes finally a little bit less mean. Amen.